This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Sandy Jacobs. Our co-host, TJ Inman, will be along here shortly. We're discussing Indiana football, also some Big Ten football updates from around the conference that have some impact on Indiana. We'll also talk about the impact that Marcus Oliver and Devine Redding declaring for the NFL draft has. Hopefully later in the week, we'll get either Jason Spriggs or Tevin Coleman on the show to talk about their matchup in the NFC Championship game. So congrats to both of those former Hoosiers on getting that far in their NFL seasons. And right now we bring in TJ in. And TJ, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Sammy. Yeah, we just kind of I hate to call this the off season because it really doesn't feel like it as much as we're into recruiting and you got staff changes
it's recruiting season. That's yeah. What it is, and it's definitely not. There was very little downtime for people following recruiting. Speaking of recruiting, TJ, Indiana got a commitment last night from Tyrese Freifogel, a receiver out of Mississippi, whose dad played at Ole Miss. And who was probably slated to go to Ole Miss until Grant Hurd came aboard at IU and plucked him out of Mississippi and brings him to IU. Freifogel's an interesting prospect. We were talking about this last night. He's unrated by the major recruiting services right now. Probably nobody has looked at his tape yet. Or things like that. He only had three offers, including Indiana, one from Ole Miss, one from Idaho. Those are the prospects who usually get rated last in terms of timeline. But he is a big receiver at 6'2". He's listed somewhere between 197 and 205 by the different services. So he kind of fits, as we all said last night in the group text, kind of fits that mold of Simi Cobbs and Nick Westbrook. The good thing about this commitment is he's not going to have to be rushed into playing. He could take some time and develop. IU has both Simi and Nick Westbrook back next year, and then you'd have to hope that guys like Taysier Mack, Phil Benker, and Jonah Morris are going to step up and take the roles of you know, guys like Ricky Jones, Mitchell Page. You have Luke Timian back as well. And then
Donovan
you'll
Hale.
See what you could get. Yep, Donovan Hale. And then you could see what you get from Jason Harris. So, to me, this he'll probably redshirt next year unless he totally bursts onto the scene. But he has two receivers who he is built like in front of him, who he could style his game after and use as role models. We'll see going forward how long Simi and Nick Westbrook are with IU in terms of going pro. If Cobbs has a tremendous season next year, you could see him making the jump. Nick Westbrook will also be draft eligible after next season as well. So it seems like he's a guy who could take a year to develop, work on some skills he needs to work on some speed, and put on a little more bulk and then eventually slide in behind those guys. So that's my take on Tyrese Freifogel. How about yours, TJ?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. It's interesting to see kind of the schools that he visited didn't have offers from yet, but he visited a number of high-profile schools that were at least looking at him and in Ole Miss. You know, we know the connection with Grant Hurd there, and like you said, that he almost certainly wouldn't be coming to Indiana if not for Grant Hurd. and that connection there. So it was, it didn't come out of the blue that, that he committed. We knew he had had visited and apparently liked what he saw, and that was that plus the relationship with Grant Hurd and what he envisioned this offense being was enough to sway him to come to Indiana over Ole Miss. You know, and I think you're absolutely right about his role in 2017, likely barring a major breakout during preseason workouts and practices, he will be a redshirt guy. And that's what you want. You want to be able to redshirt the majority of your freshman class and not have to rely on them with the exception of some standout guys or some major areas of need. And wide receiver for next season, not a major area of need. It should be a team strength once again, as long as you get from, you know, the guys you mentioned, Banker, Mac, Jonah Morris, and then just, you know, new roles, increased roles for Luke Timian, Donovan Hale, and then you just hope for help for Jayshon Harris. And, you know, he'll be a wild card. We don't know what he's going to look like when he gets back on the football field after really not playing for 2 years. So I think the most interesting thing is going to be this height that, and it kind of, for me, segues into thinking about the offense. You know, the height is something that you attempt to use, you think you'd attempt to use it in the red zone, and it was not, in my opinion, effectively done this past season. It was one of the problems IU had in the red zone was I don't think they used the height of Nick Westbrook or the tight end very well while in the red zone. They certainly missed Timmy Cobbs in that regard. It was something he had done very well in 2015. And Fry Fogle could be another guy that does that. Jonah Morris is also a bigger receiver that you think maybe he could be used as that in 2017 and beyond. If you're going to bring in guys with kind of size, it makes sense that in the red zone, when those spaces get constricted, that's one of the things you would do is pick on those matchups. And if you can bring out a group of more than just one big receiver, that's going to create matchup problems because a lot of teams will have, you know, one corner that's bigger, but they're not going to have more than one or two. So if you can bring out some groups that have a lot of size across the board, you can create some mismatches in that in the red zone packages and with accurate throws, create better scoring chances for your team. And I'd like to see more of that, especially with the big wide receivers Indiana is going to have at their disposal in 2017. And then if Fry Fogle develops, he can be a part of that as early as maybe 2018. But, when thinking about roster construction and class construction, we knew we talked about on this podcast, you know, Indiana probably wanting to bring in at least one receiver, possibly a second. And now I think with Fry Fogle, the receivers that you'd be looking at are more of the one, if it's a guy that you think, you know, yeah, we think he can be a star, obviously you bring him in no matter what kind of receiver he is. If you think he's going to be a star, you bring him in. But I think you're going to look at probably more of the slot or, you know, smaller explosive type guy now. You've got the big target guy in Fry Fogle, and now I think maybe you bring in kind of the smaller slot explosive guy if you bring in another wide receiver, unless, like I said, there's another guy out there you're pursuing that that you can bring in that you think can be a star, then, you know, the more the merrier in that case.
Yeah, and to your point, again, in the red zone, Fry Fogle does have on his huddle page listed as a 38-inch vertical. His tape that showed he could go up and get it, and that's something, as you said, TJ,
13,
that I used. 13 touchdowns, I believe somewhere, you know, around 1,200, 1,300 yards 90-some-odd catches around there. So he has good hands. He can go up and get the ball. And that's something we saw, you know, to me in the Northwestern game where they were using Ricky Jones, who's, you know, 6 foot, 5'11", 5'10", around there, and throwing the ball up to him. And, you know, he could have made the catches. They would have been spectacular catches. But if you're talking about a guy who's now 6'2", with 38-inch vertical, maybe those become a little bit easier balls to catch. In terms of roster construction, they are missing that big play receiver. Now, Nick Westbrook has shown speed to go downfield and make plays, but you're losing Ricky Jones, who was their deep threat last year. You're losing Mitchell Page, who was your possession receiver, who could go deep over the middle a little bit with some speed. But you're right, TJ. I think they need to go after some guy who could blow the top off of that defense and really make IU's offense a little bit more dynamic, especially under Mike DeBoard, whose offenses are explosive. They were explosive last year at Tennessee, even though Josh Dobbs wasn't terrific at throwing the deep ball. That's one of the things that I think Richard Lego does better than people give him credit for, is throw that deep ball pretty well. Now, he's not Aaron Rodgers, where, you know, every other Hail Mary is a touchdown, it seems. But he could get the ball downfield pretty confidently and put it where he needs to be. So having a guy like that, we'll see if Jayshon Harris comes back with the type of speed that he had as a freshman. But you just never know, coming off of two knee surgeries and things like that. But let's talk a little bit more about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, yep. Real quick on that. You'll get your thoughts on this, and we'll move on to our other topics, and we'll talk about this certainly as we break down position groups and spring ball and all that. We're taking a bit of an educated guess here because it has been, we've never seen these guys on a Division I field against other competition, but based on kind of things we've heard from bowl practice, based on what we thought of them coming in, I do think that I use three redshirt receivers. Especially Taysier Mack and Phil Banker do have that ability to be those big play threats. Both of them came in with kind of that pedigree of doing that. And then Jonah Morris, a little bit more of the bigger target type receiver, but also had some speed to him. I think that he was kind of a direct comparison to Nick Westbrook. So I do think that there is the possibility that Indiana already has that on the roster. Not that you don't want to have more of it with someone like maybe a Jalen Adams or somebody else that they're pursuing. But I do think that Taysier Mack and Phil Banker could be guys that step in and with some further development prove to be those deep threats that Indiana's offense is looking for. We can get your thoughts on it, and then we'll move on to something besides wide receivers.
Yeah, you know, when we looked at Banker's tape last year, he was going to be the guy that would blow the top off of a defense. But to me, you can never – speed is the one thing that you can rarely teach. Now, you might be able to take a guy who runs a 4.56 and turn him into a 4.5 guy. But some of these recruits that IU's brought in for visits, they have, you know, 4.4, sub-4.4 speed, which you can't get enough of those guys. And speed is what, you know, speed is where the talent gap is between Michigan and Ohio State and Indiana and schools like that. So anytime you could get a guy who runs fast, who's a good football player. Now, look, IU's had some fast guys in the past who have been track guys and never really translated, but these are guys who have been good high school football players who know the game, who are not just straight-line runners and things like that. So I think if they could get, you know, speed into the next class and keep getting those types of guys, it's not like pro football where you could just say to Phil Banker, hey, you know, we like what you did. We want you for another 3 years. These guys, it is such a quick turnaround in college football with, you know, having a guy only 3, 4, or 5 years, you know, at the max, you're going to have to reload and just passing on a guy because, oh, we have these guys on the roster. And you've seen the injuries. IU's been bitten by the injury bug a lot the last couple of years. So, you know, you got to keep going after these guys. And sometimes it might seem redundant, but you got to get these guys on the roster and really close the gap in speed with the rest of these teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and you know, not everybody's going to develop the way that you hope that they do. You know, your talent evaluation is not always going to be 100% correct, and your kind of foresight to think, well, this guy will turn into this kind of player, it's not always going to turn out the way you want. And sometimes it'll be, you know, it'll be better than you expected, but sometimes it'll be worse. So, you know, the more speed guys you get, and the more talent that you have, obviously, the better the chance is that, you know, one of those, maybe you bring in, you know, three receivers in a class, you'd hope that all three of them turn into, you know, very good players. Odds are that's not going to happen, but if you only bring in one of them, you have to have that guy turn out to be tremendous. And that's where scholarship limits come into play. You know, if you take three receivers, that means you're not, you know, something else. Indiana has a lot of defensive linemen in this class, and they needed to bolster that depth there, especially since they have transitioned, obviously, to the four defensive linemen scheme. They want to have, you know, quality rotation of 8, 9, 10 guys that they can rely on, because that's such a tough position. It takes a physical toll on guys. You get worn down during the course of a game and then during the course of the season. So you want to have that deep rotation. But one of the costs of doing that is there's less slots available elsewhere. The same in the secondary. You're playing a lot of guys throughout the course of the game in the secondary with these up-tempo offenses. So it's really important to kind of hit on your talent evaluation elsewhere, because you just don't have as many slots as you'd like to be able to have. And you know, of course, you're not able to just say, well, you know, we'll take that guy and that guy. Like you said, it's not a draft. There's not contracts. You've got to recruit these guys and fill your roster with players you want, but also players that want to play for you. So recruiting is tough overall. We can, you know, we can sit here and say, oh, it's great that they brought Feifogel in, and then we like what, you know, we like what we see, but obviously we're not experts on this, and even the best experts, which are the coaches, sometimes they make mistakes on this stuff too. So, you know, we're taking educated guesses as to what we think the class needs and what we think is a good signing or a kind of a reach or whatnot. So I think you're dead on that it's a quick turnaround, and it's tough to pass on talent. Just talent and speed, it's tough to pass on that, and you can't do it, because you've got to make sure that if the guy you thought was going to develop doesn't, that you've got somebody else that does.
Yeah, and you know, Jayshon Harris is the perfect example of that. You know, when he was brought in, you know, he's looked as a little bit bigger of a Shane Wynn, and then, you know, in 2014, IU has too many slot guys. You know, they had Shane Wynn on the outside. You know, their receiving core is a mess, and they have too much, you know, too many, like, little guys on the outside need bigger receivers. Now you've seen, now that Jayshon Harris has missed the last 2 years, they're missing that speed guy who could go over the top, which he showed that he could do well during his freshman campaign. It is recruiting is very quick to turn. Things go super, super fast, and we'll see where they go from now. I think the final thought on recruiting, the rest of the needs for this class, I think that IU needs another defensive back. after
corner. After, I would say,
yeah,
right, like a cover guy.
Yeah, you're probably set at safety and Husky with Brian Fitzgerald coming in. You're probably going to need a corner. There are a couple corners that they're looking at that could be close to committing. And then I think you need a running back as well. And we'll get into the impact of Devine Redding leaving. But after Camion's going to be a senior this year, then you have Mike Majette and Devontae Williams are both juniors. Ricky Brookins and Alex Rodriguez will be seniors as well, I believe. So you need a feature back to come in there and make an impact. So I think running back's another spot that you need somebody, because all you're going to have left is Tyler Natti. As we've seen it, you cannot get through a Big Ten season with just one running back. So we'll see where they go with that. I think on the defensive side, corner – maybe another linebacker, but I think on defense they're pretty much set. And then just probably another small wide receiver with some speed and a running back, and they need a quarterback at some point. We'll see if Nick Tronti is that guy. He's a dual threat quarterback out of Florida. He's kind of blown up over the last few weeks. I know, TJ, you're a huge fan of him. We'll see if they could get him on campus and signing on the dotted line 2 weeks from today. But they missed out on Braxton Burmeister. It looks like they're missing out on Tyler Lytle, and it's just very late in the quarterback game to get going. We'll see what they do in 2018. If they don't get a quarterback this class, it's got to be at the top of their priority list for next year. But let's take a look at linebacker, TJ. It's something that you wanted to talk about. As we all know, Marcus Oliver, who's the heart and soul of defense the last couple of years, has declared for the NFL draft. He finished with, I believe, 116 tackles in 2015, 96, 95 tackles this year. He's IU's career leader in forced fumbles. Replacing him will not be easy, but IU does have some options. We could talk about Damian Willis, Chris Covington. Now, it does help that Tigre Scales is back. If IU had lost both Oliver and Scales, that's the strength of that defense really becomes a monster question mark instead of a big question mark. And then you're bringing in a junior college transfer in McGinnis. So we'll see where they go from there. What are your thoughts at linebacker?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with that last point. Getting Tigre Scales back was imperative once Marcus Oliver decided to go to the draft. And tremendous career for Marcus Oliver. He was a pleasure to watch. Tremendous playmaker for the defense. A very solid tackler. Even when, in the years prior to last year, IU's tackling left a lot to be desired. I felt like Marcus Oliver was always one of the more sure tacklers on the team. The forced fumbles were just uncanny, the ability he had to get around the ball and then just somehow get it out. And I hope that he gets a shot to make it with an NFL team. He'll get drafted for sure. It's just a matter of whether or not he gets into a good fit, good system for him, and takes advantage of his opportunity. Great for him to be able to have that chance. As far as Indiana's linebacking rotation goes, I do feel like they are in better shape to replace Oliver than they are Tigre Scales. I'm not going to, value one over the other, but I just feel like getting Tigre Scales back was absolutely critical. If Oliver left, and he did, I think you are now looking at Scales will start assured. And then after that, I really liked the play of Chris Covington in that bowl game against Utah, and I liked what I saw of Covington throughout the year when he did play. He got more playing time towards the end of the season. really seemed like he came alive from kind of an inconsistent practice player to more consistent performance in practice, just based on some of the comments from the coaches. And we'll need him to be, you know, a consistent performer for the defense now that he's going to be relied upon as a more consistent contributor. I think, if I'm guessing, I'd say he starts. I think Damian Willis will see increased playing time. And then you're looking at Raekwon Jones, saw a little bit of action last year. He will be a redshirt sophomore. And then Mike McGinnis, you know, you don't bring in JUCO guys to sit on the bench. That might end up happening. Maybe he's not as good as they hope he is, or he gets hurt. But plan, Mike McGinnis will see the field in some capacity. I can see him being on special teams, and I can see him being a definite part of the linebacking rotation. He's a hard hitter, instinctive player, and it seems like he can bring a physical edge to the defense. You know, I thought they hit hard last year, but you know he'll definitely help that as well. So you know that's what, five guys right there, and then you're bringing in Thomas Allen, which Tom Allen's son. From Plant High School. He had a very productive high school career. You're bringing in Mo Burnham. He's committed, has not signed yet. And I guess he might be taking another visit. So hopefully to hang on to Mo Burnham. He has a pretty high ceiling athletic linebacker out of Georgia that looks a lot like a Tigre Scales-type player, potentially. Certainly a long ways to go to get to that level. So you'll have, you know, you'll have seven or eight on the roster, and I think probably in the rotation you'll have five.
He has
probably.
TJ, speaking of Mo Burnham, he was a Tennessee commit. I'm looking at his 247 page right now. He has no visits scheduled.
Okay.
He decommitted from
somewhere.
Yeah. I think he had a visit the other day from Coach Inge, and we'll see where it goes from there. He took an official to IU on December 9th, but other than that, I don't see any other indications that he's taking other visits. But he was a big get out of Georgia for them. And as far as Mike McGinnis goes, he was a junior college All-American. It's you know, we said this about Lego when they brought him in. You just don't bring junior college players in to have a minimal impact. I think he'll get a very good shot at starting or at least being in the two deep in that rotation.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, it probably depends on matchups. Against faster teams, we might see Covington and Damian Willis against bigger teams. You might see McGinnis in there instead, but he's a guy who they're going to want to get on the field. He's in for spring, which is huge. Huge for IU. It's huge for these players to get used to these systems, to learn a new system and things like that. So I think Mike McGinnis will end up being in the two deep. When we do our two deep projections, the first one after signing day, he'll definitely be in there, but we want to see what he brings this spring. IU's linebacking core might be unproven, but the talent is there. It might be a little thin in terms of numbers, but with Scales coming back, you got to feel good about this not turning into a weakness like it has the last couple of years, where the strength guys graduate, it's a weakness, and then another part of the team becomes a strength. So I think the defense with these freshmen coming in on the defensive line, you have Scales back at linebacker, Fant, which was a huge return at corner, and then you have Riggins, who will be a sophomore, and you have some other freshmen coming in there. This defense, I think, on paper, might be better than last year's defense. We'll just have to wait and see. Another guy who left, TJ, on the opposite side of the ball, running back Devine Redding. Now, we've had mixed feelings on Devine as a player. He's a tremendous human being, a pleasure to talk to and get to know over the last couple of years. But, you know, did we think he was, you know, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons is nothing to sneeze at, but something was missing with him. It was the explosiveness, the turn, a 3-yard run into an 8-yard run, and so on and so forth that IU was missing. As explosive as this offense was in 2015, this year it was more of a grinded out type of offense, which hit home run plays every now and then. But it seemed that every time IU would try and score a touchdown, it took everything that they had to punch it in. So we're going to see Kameon Patrick probably start at running back if he's healthy. He should be healthy and ready to go for spring ball. And this is, you know, as Matt said, it's like the legend of Bigfoot. We've heard about him, but we haven't seen him. Or the Loch Ness Monster, whatever conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat-wearing monster you could think of, that's what Kameon Patrick compares to. We'll see. We saw flashes. We saw that tremendous catch against Rutgers. We saw some plays against Penn State. He'll start. They're going to try and start him at running back. I think that's, you know, I compared him to, we've seen him in practice. He compares to both Tevin Coleman and Jordan Howard. He's a physical guy who likes to run over people, and he could also blow by you with speed like Tevin. So he's going to be your number one back. You also have Tyler Natee coming back. Now the bacon and legs package is gone because Xander's gone. But you have Tyler Natee, and then you have Ricky Brookins, who I thought was the best back in the bowl game. He showed a lot. He deserves a few more carries, especially if they decide to move him back from – they moved him to slot officially, but I thought he played more running back last year. But he's a nice little scat back who could give you 5, 6, 7 carries a game if all goes well. And then you have Mike Majette and Devontae Williams, who they've got to stay healthy. Mike Majette looked like he was becoming a weapon in the screen game. Devontae Williams needs to improve his game a little bit. He's a guy who seemed to be a step away from breaking away on a couple kickoffs this year and maybe some runs. So, you know, maybe his decision-making on the field needs to be a little bit quicker and he needs to hit the hole a little bit harder. But there is some talent there. But as we said on the recruiting portion of the show, this is a position that IU needs to get some younger players at, because the well is going to be dry coming up here in the next couple of years if they don't, you know, start restocking that position. So I don't think losing Devine Redding is the end all be all that losing Marcus Oliver could have been, or losing Tigray Scales would have been. He's a replaceable player who had two very good seasons, and you know he had fumbling issues and things like that. I think you're upgrading at that position with Kameon, so we'll see. It's a wait and see. If Kameon's healthy, I think it's a major upgrade and gets this offense that explosive running back that they need.
Yeah, and you know I know you unintentionally left this guy off, but you left off Cole Guest. I personally think that Cole Guest will be the second back at the start of next season, and I can see him getting. I mean, it all depends on how many carries Kameon gets, but I can see Cole Guest getting the second most carries. Love the aggressiveness he runs with, how quick and decisively he hits the holes. And I just, he pops every time he touches the ball, even if it's not going for a big gain. It just seems like he's very decisive, pops, hits that hole hard, and I enjoy watching him run. I think he's a very capable back that if he can stay healthy next season, I think he'll have a very nice this will be a redshirt freshman year for him because he's going to get the redshirt. we think, from the 2016 season. So I think he can have a very nice redshirt freshman year and be right there. Yeah, I mean, if I'm thinking about...
Well, Guest could also be a guy... Guest is also a guy who could be an impact on punt returns and on kickoff returns as well. As I believe he had one or two punt returns and a couple kick returns. So he could be that second back in, but you're going to see a lot of him on special teams as well. Now, he's not as tall as other running backs, but that doesn't mean he's a small guy. He is he's a bowling ball. He is he's big in terms of muscle, maybe not in terms of height, but you're right. I can't believe I forgot him. But he's a guy
who I know you
could
like
make
him.
An impact. He's a guy who can make an impact in several phases of the game. So it'll be good. And the best thing of that happened to him last year. Yeah, he'll get the red shirt, but he also played in three games.
Right.
So he has that game experience of playing on the road, playing at home, and playing against a Power 5 team. I believe he got hurt against Wake Forest somewhere along there. So, you know, he has experience. He knows the speed of the game. So that learning curve is a little bit further along than most redshirt freshmen. So excited to get him back, and we'll see. You know, that's another talented person in that backfield.
Yeah, I think your overall point, and I know you do like Guest. It was not the case where you left him off on purpose. I think it's a good group that hinges on how good Kameon Patrick can be. Matt Weaver, like you mentioned when he was on our podcast, he predicted if Kameon's healthy, he can run for 1,600, 1,700 yards. Matt is not one for hyperbole. He doesn't just blow smoke just to be a cheerleader at all.
No, but Will,
really,
if he does not run for 1,600 yards, Matt will get roasted on this show.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. But he, I mean, being honest when he says that, he actually does believe that can happen if Kameon's healthy. So for me, the success of the group overall is going to hinge on the development of the offensive line is going to be talented, but reshuffled and inexperienced a little bit. Not a young group, but just an inexperienced group. And it's going to hinge on, you know, whether or not he can stay healthy. It's not, I'm not calling him injury prone because I don't think that's a fair label to put on a guy, but we need to see a full season out of him, and it just didn't occur last season. There were just multiple issues. Plus, I think it's something that people have to remember. He came back from an injury that should have, in theory, held him out longer than it did. He came back earlier than expected, and was able to have an impact that, you know, helped IU win a football game against Rutgers that it looked for a while like they were not going to win. So I'm very, very excited to see him at running back. I'm so glad they made that move. I think it's necessary for this offense. And if IU can get back to picking up big chunk plays on the ground, it's going to help out the passing games just monumentally. And it will help out pretty much every offensive issue you can think of that IU had. A Kameon Patrick that's as good as we hope he can be at running back is going to solve a lot of those issues, or at least mitigate a lot of them. Now, as the group overall, like I said, I think Cole Guest is a very good player. I think Mike Majette and Devontae Williams have shown flashes. We'll see. I think Ricky Brookins, I think, can be utilized more than he has been. I think he's very capable. And then Tyler Natee, it's going to be very interesting to see how this new offensive staff, at least Mike DeBoard anyway, chooses to utilize him. Because I think last season, his positive attributes were showcased at times. And then we also saw some limitations at times where what was going to happen when he was in the game gap fences were able to dial in and just pack the box and get to him. But I still think he's a very unique piece that can be a net positive for an IU offense that I would love to see be more creative. And I think Tyler Nesee can be a big part of that. I am still 100% positive he's going to have a nice career at Indiana. So as a group overall, I'm encouraged, and I think it's going to be a very, like you said, if Kameon's healthy, it's a better group than it was last year. Now, as far as recruiting goes, yeah, they offered another one today. They offered another running back today, and they've got a couple of guys coming in on visits. And, you know, Dylan McCullough's track record with identifying guys and bringing them in is fairly spotless, to be honest. So I if he likes a player and is willing to bring him into Indiana, I feel pretty good about that player. So we'll see who they end up with running back. I'm pretty confident they're going to get somebody that Dylan McCullough likes. He's not going to offer somebody that he doesn't like to be a part of his running back group. And so if they end up with somebody McCullough likes, then I'll feel pretty good. And whoever it is will likely come in redshirt future, and then he'll bring in another guy in 2018 because it's the position you've just got to have a lot of bodies at.
Yeah, I agree. And TJ, let's get to some other Big Ten news that we've missed over the last couple of weeks. One is Minnesota made a coaching change. They fired Tracy Clays because of the whole incident with the sexual assault and players being suspended and a tweet he sent out. They hired PJ Fleck from Western Michigan. He's brought Row the Boat to the land of 10,000 lakes. So plenty of space to row his boat there. I think that was a tremendous hire for Minnesota. Minnesota, I think they can be a good program. They have a lot of history. They have a nice stadium. Sure. They play in the Big Ten West, which is competitive every year. And, you know, they don't have to go and play Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State and all those things every single year. Their spots are picked and chosen for them when they play them. But I think that the effect on IU might not be immediate, but PJ Fleck does have a history of recruiting Indiana guys when he was at Western Michigan. And we'll see how his recruiting does at a Big Ten school and things like that. So I think it's a tremendous hire for Minnesota. He signed, I believe, a 6-year deal. We'll see if he takes Minnesota and does what he did at Western Michigan with Minnesota. We'll see how long he is with the Gophers. Another thing, we saw Kevin Wilson is now officially the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. It just makes that first game a little bit more intriguing, with that offense. Ohio State was shut out by Clemson in the semifinals of the college football playoff. Did they deserve to be in there is another question with all that. So we'll see a lot of Kevin Wilson at Ohio State. We'll talk a little bit about it when we start breaking down that game. But that's a tremendous hire for Ohio State. Him and Urban have always been friendly and close. So, you know, I'm happy for Coach Wilson that he got another job after his rocky ending at Indiana. So, you know, to me, it's hit and miss on whether or not where he should be. Indiana made its bed. He made his bed as well, and they both have to lie in it. You knew he was going to get a job somewhere, but, you know, you wish it wasn't Ohio State and some place where he could come back and do some damage. But in the long run, it shouldn't really make a difference in the series. We'll see what it does this year. The last piece of news is that Ohio State's athletic director, Gene Smith, is replacing Wisconsin AD Barry Alvarez on this college football playoff committee. The impact should have no impact on Indiana. They're not going to compete for the college football playoff right now. But we'll see, you know, when it comes to selection committees and all of that. There's big controversy this year whether or not Penn State should have been in and all that. So we'll see. But, TJ, always great talking Big Ten and IU football with you. We'll be back next week with Mitchell Page.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. He has certainly been one of my favorite players to watch at Indiana, and I know we're both really looking forward to getting a chance to talk with him as he has wrapped up his Indiana career. And so we'll catch up with Mitchell Page real quick. We'll talk about any more recruiting news that pops up. Indiana, again, will be hosting quite a few visitors this weekend, and we'll have ongoing recruiting content up on Hoosier Huddle, and we'll talk about it here on the podcast.
Yep, we'll have a mailbag out later this week, so do send in your questions to at Hoosier Huddle on Twitter or at Hoosier underscore Huddle on Twitter, and hit us up on Facebook as well. Thanks for joining us, TJ. We're 2 weeks away from signing day, about 225 days away from kickoff, so it'll be here before you know it. Spring ball will be here as well, so keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have all our preview stuff up here in the next few weeks, getting ready for spring ball. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with former IU receiver Mitchell Page.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.